Remembrance of Lord Krishna. Text number 9. Ingidajnaha puru praudha. Eka ramascha sattvataha. Sattvatam rishabham sarve bhuta vasam amam sata. Word to word translation. Ingidajnaha, expert in psychic study. Purupraudhaha, highly experienced. Eka, one. Aramaha, relaxation. Cha, also. Sattataha, devotees or own men. Sattvatam Rishabham, head of the family. Sarve, all. Bhuta Avasam, all pervading. Amam Sata, could think. Translation. The Yadus were all experienced devotees, learned and expert in psychic study. Over and above this, they were always with the Lord in all kinds of relaxations, and still they were only able to know Him as the One Supreme who dwells everywhere. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Vedas, it is said that the Supreme Lord or the Paramatma cannot be understood simply by the strength of one's erudition or power of mental speculation. Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo na medhaya na bahuna shrutena. Kathopanishad 1.2.23. He can be known only by one who has the mercy of the Lord. The Yadavas were all exceptionally learned and experienced, but in spite of their knowledge, the Lord, as the one who lives in everyone's heart, they could not understand that He is the original personality of Godhead. This lack of knowledge was not due to their insufficient erudition. It was due to their misfortune. In Vrindavan, however, the Lord was not even known as the Paramatma, because the residents of Vrindavan were pure, unconventional devotees of the Lord and could think of Him only as the object of love. They did not know that He is the personality of Godhead. The Yadus, or the residents of Dwaraka, however, could know Lord Krishna as Vasudev, or the super soul living everywhere, but not as the Supreme Lord. As scholars of the Vedas, they verified the Vedic hymns, Eko Deva, Sarva Bhuta Adhivasaha, Antaryami, and Vrishninam Paradevata. The Yadus, therefore, accepted Lord Krishna as the Super Soul incarnated in their family, and not more than that. Om Ajnanati Vrandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Vanchakalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyeva cha
पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। भूतैर्महाद्भिर्य इमा पुरो विभु निर्माय शेते यदमूष पुरुष भुङ्क्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशात्मक सोऽलङ्कृशीष्ट भगवान् वचांसि मे। हरे कृष्ण।
This section of Bhagavatam is very advanced. Of course, the whole Bhagavatam is very advanced. However, if you try to see these couple of verses, 8 and 9, they are highly advanced because they are expressions of a pure devotee, as there are many other verses in Srimad Bhagavatam. If we consider the material world is not static. It is dynamic because there are so many happenings in the material world. There are so many waves that are hitting the shores of material life. There are waves of karma incessantly hitting the shore of our lives, of all the conditioned beings. So the waves of karma are bringing good things and bad things. They are bringing happy moments and miserable moments. And it is going on forever. Then there are waves of material nature. The living entity is inflicted by the three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. As Bhagavad Gita says, they are trying for predominance. So they are also not static, dynamic. They are trying to predominate among the rest. And as a matter of fact, our mind is influenced by these three modes of material nature. So what is the point of influence of the three modes of material nature? Primarily, it is our mind. So there is tribulation in our mind. This is another kind of wave. Then, of course, there is the incessant flow of time. And the time is bringing karma. The time is bringing the different effects to our mind in terms of influences of the modes of material nature. So we can know this material nature is not at all static, but it is happening. It's not leading us anywhere, still it is happening. It is going on. When we drive to Great Ocean Road, for example, we can see beautiful ocean. The waves are flowing, it is hitting the shores, and blue ocean and, you know, beautiful waves are hitting. It is very beautiful to see. And if you go as a tourist and if you try to observe, it looks very nice, it is very scenic. However, if we are in that ocean and being tossed by that ocean, by that waves, it is not very pleasant. So material nature is like that. From distance, it looks very pleasant. It is very attractive. It is very scenic. But when we are actually entrapped, then it is not very much pleasurable. But then one realizes, okay, it is miserable. But it is too late. So this is material nature, the waves of material nature, hitting very hard incessantly. And if we consider non-devotees especially, we can also be tinged by that kind of mentality. But especially if you observe non-devotees, they make a big scene out of the material nature. See that beautiful couple. Oh, they are enjoying like anything. Anyone would be envious how they are enjoying. So nice to see that. In fact, he was telling, do you know about that couple? He was a devotee, the boy was a devotee, and girl was not a devotee, and he was having actually a difficult time. But this particular person was telling, he went and stayed with them, you know, maybe a couple of days. Then he came to me and told me, they are enjoying like anything. Such a beautiful couple. You know, there couldn't be any better situation. And they are perfect communication. They are in touch with their family back home. They have a big screen. They are typing, chatting, you know, communicating, everything very wonderful. Anyone would be envious of them. Okay, then, you know, I know this person. So he comes to me and he tells the realities, how he is going through the life, you know. So from outside, from an external point of view, everything looks very attractive. Oh, beautiful couple. They make a big scene out of it. Beautiful couple, young couple. But what's the reality? The material world is the place of suffering. Dukhalem ashashvatam. It is not going to change. We can have any kind of scene in this material world, but it remains dukhalem ashashvatam. So we need to understand this point. And we have to understand there are waves of karma, there are waves of time, there are waves of the modes of material nature. So in this waves, the only shelter for us is the association of the devotees. So there is a beautiful verse from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Durlabham manusho deho dehinam kshana bhanguram tatrapi durlabham manye vaikuntha priya darshanam. So it is said that durlabho manusho deho, to obtain a human form of life is durlabha, it is very rare. Dehinam kshana bhanguram. Okay. Because we go through so many different kinds of species of life, and ultimately we are coming into the human form of life. So it is of great fortune, but on the other side, it is kshana bhanguram. Kshana bhanguram means it can finish at any point of time. It is very instantaneous. If we consider the whole series of lives, this human form, 100 years at max, it's not possible, but that is instantaneous. It just finishes just like this. Just like a bubble, it can just burst. So even though the human form of life is the most opportune moment, it is very rare, but it is kshana bhanguram. Now, it comes to the next point. Even tatravi durlabham manye vaikuntha priya darshanam. But there is something which is even more rare than just obtaining a human form of life. That is vaikuntha priya darshanam. Vaikuntha Priya is a devotee who is dear to the Lord. Vaikuntha Priya. Who is dear to the Lord of Vaikuntha? Krishna or Narayana. So, if one obtains the association of such a devotee, that is considered even more rare. So, if you want to get saved from this waves of material nature, our only shelter is the association of the devotees. Now, I try to make this point of the waves because even in the spiritual life, the waves are very significant. If we try to study nectar of devotion, Dhanudhar Goswami has written, Dhanudhar Swami has written a book. What is that? The Waves of Devotion. Because the devotion is also not static. Proverbs says it is ecstatic and it is dynamic. So the book itself is the waves. And we can see, if you refer to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the different sections are divided as waves. Because the devotion is not just static, it is changing. There are changes to it. And it is very significant now, especially at this point of time, because now Radhashtami is approaching, just you know, 2 days from now. So I was thinking, okay, think about a little bit about Radhashtami. And then we can try to explain this particular verse, including the previous verse also, because the 8 and 9 actually goes together. There is something very common to these two verses. So Srila Prabhupada asks, who are you to love Krishna? What is your qualification to love Krishna? It's very significant. You know, we talk about love of Godhead, and we prematurely think that, okay, now I can love Krishna. Yes. But Srila Prabhupada asks, what's your qualification and what's your capacity to love Krishna? When I was reading this statement in one of the lectures of Srila Prabhupada, I started thinking, yes, what is my qualification? We are filled with anarthas and we don't have the proper desire that is also contaminated. Then what is our qualification or capacity to love Krishna? then it comes to the point that the real love exists between Krishna and his intimate devotees. And that love means there are exchanges. So when we try to see even the songs, even different verses which we recite many times casually, they are describing the exchanges between Krishna and his intimate devotees. The Srimad Bhagavatam, for example, is the whole narration of exchanges between Krishna and his intimate devotees. Recently I was hearing Jagannath Ashtakam. We have all heard Jagannath Ashtakam, but just when I heard the second verse, it actually struck me, and I was thinking about it. The first line says, describes Krishna, his form. Bhuje Savye Venum, on his left hand, Venu, the flute is there. Shirasi Shikhipucham, on his head, there is peacock feather. And Kadidade Dukulam, on his waist, he has his yellow dhoti. Then it is mentioned. So this is his description. Then it goes on to the exchanges of the Lord. Then it is mentioned that Netrante Sahachara Kataksham Vidadhate. Netrante means by the corner of his eyes. He is constantly looking at his intimate devotees. Sahachara Kataksham Vidadhate. He is looking at his intimate devotees. So that is Lord Jagannath. Because why this Ashtagam is so significant? Because this Ashtagam was chanted by Lord Chaitanya himself. This was written by Adi Shankara, Shankaracharya, but it was recited by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because this is narrating Vrindavan Krishna. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was seeing Lord Jagannath, he was seeing Vrindavan Krishna, Sri Nandanandan Krishna. He was only seeing Krishna in Vrindavan. So there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing the exchange between Krishna and his intimate devotees. His corner of his eyes are dedicated for his intimate devotees, and he is showering his sidelong glances upon his devotees. So Sri Rupa Goswami, he beautifully narrates this, and it is from Padyavali, and it is quoted in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. Smeram bhangitraya parichitam sachi vistirna drishtim vamshinyasta dharakishalayam ujjalam chandrakena govindakhyam haritanumiha keshi tirthopakanthe ma prekshishta tavayati sakhe bandhu sanghe stirangaha. So Rupa Goswami says, look at this Krishna. Smeram bhangitraya parichitam. First he describes the smiling face of Krishna and his threefold bending form. Then he says, Sachi Vistirna Drishti. Again, Rupa Goswami is referring to his sidelong glances. And he is playing upon his flute and he is inviting his intimate devotees. So this is the exchange between Krishna and his intimate devotees. So when we approach Krishna consciousness, we may not realize, but the reality is that the aim of Krishna consciousness is to serve Radha and Krishna as servant of servant of servant. Now we cannot say how many times, but as servant of servant of servant of servant, we need to serve Radha and Krishna. That is the aim. So devotees, some people ask, why there are Radha and Krishna as the deities? Because that is our objective. Gopi bhartu patagamaleyo dasa dasanu das. So this is our mood. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach this. Anarpita charinchirat karunate karunaya avatirnakalo. This worship of Radha Krishna has never been given to any other yugas, the residents of any other yugas. If they perform sadhana bhakti, ultimately they could go to Vaikuntha, but they could never obtain the worship of Radha and Krishna. So it is mentioned, Karunaya Avatirnakalo. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came out of compassion. It's not because of our qualification. We may think, okay, we are here in ISKCON because of our qualification. But no, it is out of compassion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Karunaya Avatirnakalo. Samarpayatam Unnato Jalarasam Sabhakti Priyam. Samarpayatam, to bestow the highest, Ujjala Rasa. That is, Ujjala Rasa is the Madhuri Rasa in the form of his bhakti. So to give this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. And that's why we are here. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, out of compassion, he distributed all over the world as the dearmost representative of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Again, it comes to the main point that the exchange between Radha and Krishna, that is the object of our worship. That is our meditation. That is the highest. And all our services are ultimately going to their pleasure. In Tulasi Arati, we sing, Sri Radha Govinda Preme Sadayena Bhasi. So the Krishnadas Goswami is praying, Sri Radha Govinda, let me swim in the ocean of love between Radha and Krishna. The objective is very clear. So we need to understand there is such objective. Because we don't actually realize that Krishna means there is exchanges of love between his intimate devotees. Krishna is never alone, means there is reciprocation. So that is described in so many verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, in so many acharyas, they comment in so many different ways, this exchanges. Similarly, we can see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri experiencing the same mood as Srimati Radharani. We know the famous verse. Mahaprabhu was chanting in front of the Rath cart. He establishes his relation to Krishna as a servant. He chants Gobi Bhartapata Kamale or Dasa and Das, showing that this is our position. Radha and Krishna, they are in the highest realm, and we are just servant of servant of servant of servant. And whatever service we are doing are ultimately for the pleasure of them. So he establishes the position. Then, in his ecstatic love, he chants many verses. Yah kaumara harasa evavara, very famous verse, where he explains, he actually narrates the mood of Srimati Radharani, in which he longs the association of the Lord and he misses Vrindavan. So we can see that in our scriptures, the emphasis is given so much on Radha and Krishna and exchanges between Krishna and his intimate devotees. So now, for now, the Radhashrami is coming. So we can understand ourselves. We are not at all qualified even to think of many of the pastimes. We cannot even think of how to serve them. They are very high in nature. But at least we can pray that we get an opportunity in which we serve the Lord in our capacity at this point, and we can elevate our consciousness. We can develop the desire to serve the Lord along with his intimate companion. Raghunath Das Goswami, he chants very beautiful verse because he had already attained perfection. He chants that Namashreshtam manumapi sachi putra matra swarupam rupam satyagrajam urupuri madhurim goshtavatim radha kundam girivaramaho rathika madhavasham prapto yasya pradida kripaya shri gurum tam natosmi. He says, I have obtained Namashreshtam. I have obtained the mercy of the holy name. And I have obtained Sachiputram. I have obtained the lotus feet of Sachiputra. That is, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have obtained my residence in Vrindavan. That is my home. I have obtained Govardhan. I have obtained Shyam Kund and Radha Kund. He's saying, I have obtained everything. And finally he mentions, I have obtained the desire to worship Radha and Krishna. Rathika Madhavasha. So it is very important that Raghunath Das Goswami, he mentions, I have obtained ultimately the desire to serve Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. How he obtained? By the mercy of Sri Guru. So this has to be our mood. By the mercy of our Guru and Srila Prabhupada, we have to obtain the desire to serve them. So having the desire, that is very important. Because if we have the desire, then we can obtain anything. It's like one time in the morning walk conversation, I have told the story many times, I think. One devotee badly wanted to ask some question to Srila Prabhupada. So at the end of the morning walk, Prabhupada just got into the car and the door was about to be closed. Then this devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, "How can I be Krishna conscious?" So it's a very pertaining question. It is, you know, it's difficult. You know, how can I be Krishna conscious? Srila Prabhupada said just one word. It was desire. So when it is mentioned, Radhika Madhavasham, it is very important that we need to have the desire to serve them. As servant of servant of servant. Not directly. We don't think in that way. So to obtain that desire, that in itself is an achievement. Because the desire can be fulfilled. It's applicable to any kinds of service. If we have the desire, it will be fulfilled. Krishna is so merciful. It can take time. Now, coming back to the point mentioned in this verse particularly, here Uddhava is again speaking in his love for the Lord out of separation. So here we can see that there are statements which can look a bit difficult to understand. I will read the translation of the previous verse also, because these two verses go together. "This universe with all its planets is most unfortunate, and even more unfortunate are the members of the Yadu dynasty, because they could not identify Lord Hari as the personality of Godhead any more than the fish could identify the moon." And here again, the Yadus were all experienced devotees, learned and expert in psychic study. Over and above this, they were always with the Lord in all kinds of relaxations, and still they were only able to know him as the one supreme who dwells everywhere. So in other words, here Uddhava is in one sense criticizing and lamenting for Yadus, who are very advanced devotees, and they are very intimate to the Supreme Lord. And the Lord practically spent most of his time with Yadus. Because in Vrindavan and in Madhura, okay, Vrindavan he spent only a few years, around 10 years. Then after that, he went to Madhura and the same residents were transferred to Dwaraka. So practically, the Lord spent most of the time with Yadus. Still, Uddhava is lamenting and practically criticizing the Yadus for not understanding the Lord's highest position, the highest aspect. So let's try to understand why is it so. Here, the Yadus are glorified. Say, for example, in 10th canto, the scene where Krishna and Balaram enter the arena for wrestling, it is mentioned that the verse gives different relationship of different people who are assembled in the arena to Krishna. You know, those who are inimical to him, how they perceive the Lord. Those who are parents, how they perceive the Lord. Those who are men, how they perceive the Lord, and women, how they perceive the Lord. Like that gives the whole description. And the final line is, "Vrishninam paradevateti vidito rangam gata sagraja." Vrishninam, for the Yadus, Vrishnis, paradevateti vidito. They understood the Supreme Lord as paradevata, as the Supreme Lord. There is a mention like that in Srimad Bhagavatam. And an explanation to this verse, Sridhara Swami gives different relation of different devotees and non-devotees to the Lord. So non-devotees are exhibiting secondary rasa, whereas the devotees of the Lord are experiencing primary rasa. So all the rasas are covered in this particular verse. So when it comes to the relation of the Yadus to the Supreme Lord, Sridhara Swami writes, it is saprema bhaktika. They are in prema bhakti. So all the Yadus, they are in prema bhakti. But they are being criticized by Uddhava in these two verses. So question can arise. Why is it so? So here again, we had to understand the waves of love. Uddhava was completely affected by the waves of separation, and he is lamenting for his own position and that of other devotees. And that's why in his bewilderment out of separation from the Lord, he is complaining and he is criticizing the Yadus who were very intimate to the Lord. So we cannot take it too literally. That is, you know, they were the most unfortunate people. So we have to understand this unfortunate position of Yadus is on a very, very superior platform of love for the Lord. It is not something material, or it is not something which is inferior. Now, Srila Prabhupada answers this question in the purport to the previous verse. I will read that part. Uddhava lamented his own fortune also because although he knew Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could not properly use the opportunity to render devotional service to the Lord. He regretted everyone's misfortune, including his own. The pure devotees of the Lord thinks himself most unfortunate. That is due to excessive love for the Lord and is one of the transcendental perception of viraha, the suffering of separation. So we have to see these verses in terms of viraha, in terms of love in separation. We cannot just take this too literally that, okay, the Yadus are most unfortunate. Actually, we are most unfortunate in one sense. We have the good fortune to take up Krishna consciousness, but we restrict ourselves. In that way, we can consider ourselves most unfortunate. But Yadus, they served the Lord. And Yadus are also of two kinds. One is the demigods who assisted the Lord in his pastimes. And the other class is the devotees who are actually traveling with the Lord. Those who are intimate associates of the Lord. So wherever the Lord performs pastimes, these devotees, they accompany the Lord. Another point in here is why the residents of Dwaraka didn't know the supremacy of the Lord. They knew only Paramatma feature of the Lord and not the Bhagavan aspect of the Lord. So the explanation here is that the residents of Dwaraka were covered with the sweetness of exchange of the Lord, and so they couldn't perceive the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because they were having, as it is mentioned in this verse, they had all kinds of relaxation with the Lord. They were eating with the Lord, they were going around with the Lord, and they had all different kinds of exchanges with the Lord. And since they were covered with the sweetness of that exchange, they couldn't perceive the Supreme Lord as the Supreme Lord. So they could only see the Paramatma feature. And why they saw the Supreme Lord as Paramatma? Because if you consider the residents of Vrindavan, as it is mentioned in this purport, they couldn't perceive the Supreme Lord as Paramatma. They didn't know that he was Paramatma. Again, there also another point comes, that is, even though it is mentioned here in this purport that the residents of Vrindavan didn't know the Supreme Lord as Paramatma, still in their divine ecstasy, they glorify the Supreme Lord as Paramatma. We can read in the 31st chapter of 10th Canto. Gopi sings, Nakhalu Gopika Nandano Bhavan Akhila Dehinam Antaratmadruk Vikhana Sharthito Vishya Guptaye Sakha Udayivan Satodam Kule. The gopis are saying, Nakhalu Gopika Nandano Bhavan, you are not the son of this Yashodama. They say, you are not the son of Yashodama, but you are Akhila Dehinam Antaratmadrik. You are situated in all the living entities as Antaratmadrik, means the witness in the heart of all the living entities. Vikhana Sharthito Vishwaguptaye. To protect the whole world, you have appeared in the Satutam Kule, in the dynasty of Satutas, or Vrishnis, or Yadus. So even the gopis, even though it is mentioned that they don't know the Paramatma feature of the Lord, very clearly in the 10th canto, they say, yeah, we know the Paramatma feature of the Lord. So how is it possible? So it is mentioned, this is again out of divine love. So this, in this waves of love, they express their heart. So it goes up and down. So temporarily they show the feature that, okay, they know that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, he is the Paramatma. But next moment, they don't know. So this is the waves of love for Krishna. Similarly, even though Uddhava is mentioning here that, okay, I am most unfortunate, the Yadus are most unfortunate. Actually, they are not unfortunate. It is the expression of heart of Uddhava. So now again, coming back to the point, why the residents of Dwaraka identified the Lord as Paramatma? Because the Lord was all pervading in Dwaraka. How? In all the palaces, Krishna was there. And he gave audience to all the residents of Dwaraka. And they all had intimate relationship with the Supreme Lord. So he was present in the Dwaraka just like Paramatma. So they understood, okay, this Krishna, he is there with us all the time. Just like Paramatma. So he must be Paramatma, manifested in the form of Vasudev Krishna. So that's how the residents of Dwaraka understood the Supreme Lord as Paramatma. But since they were covered with the sweet exchanges with the Lord, they couldn't identify him as Bhagavan, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then in the verse here, here and the previous one also, yeah, it is mentioned in the Sanskrit, ye sam vasanto na vidur. Yadu dynasty could not identify the Supreme Lord as the Personality of Godhead. However, it is explained that if you see the word-to-word translation, na viduhu, it is mentioned, it is in the present tense, it is mentioned that they didn't know the Supreme Lord as the Supreme Lord, and they don't know the Supreme Lord as the Supreme Lord at this point of time also. So this indicates that the residents of Dwaraka, they are constantly having association of the Supreme Lord. It's not that they had the association of the Supreme Lord, but now also they are having the association of the Supreme Lord. Not necessarily in this particular planet, but elsewhere. So the associates of the Lord, they are constantly going along with the Supreme Lord. And Uddhava knows this fact. And that's why he carefully chose to say that they are actually, now also they don't know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. It's not that they knew before, or they didn't know before, but now also they don't know. Because they're accompanying the Lord in different capacity in different planets. So Srila Prabhupada makes a very important point in the beginning of the purport. In the Vedas, it is said that the Supreme Lord or the Paramatma cannot be understood simply by the strength of one's erudition or power of mental speculation. Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo na medhaya na bahuna shrutena. So this is very much applicable to all of us. Because even if you try to study just scriptures in itself, that is insufficient. If you only hear about Krishna, it is insufficient, because we had to perform devotional service. We had to perform bhakti. We had to do it practically. So we have sadhana and seva. And only through bhakti, the Lord is revealed. So we have this opportunity again to be in the association of the devotees and perform devotional service. And we have a great opportunity coming, day after tomorrow, Radhashtami. We can pray to Srimati Radharani to engage in her service, in the association of the devotees. And also we can particularly pray that we know that there are so many wonderful aspects of the Lord and his devotees. But we are not qualified to understand. We are restricted by our own consciousness. So let our consciousness become elevated so that we can meditate on the Supreme Lord. rather than our constant meditation on matter. So many material things are coming to our consciousness, and it is affecting our sadhana and seva. So if we can get rid of that, that helps a lot. That's the best. So we can pray for that, and we can continue our devotion service. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu. They couldn't understand the complete aspect of the Supreme Lord. There is feature of Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan, but they could see him as Paramatma because he is exchanging with the residents of Dwaraka everywhere. So they could see, okay, he is the Paramatma, has expanded, and he is coming as Krishna, as Vasudeva. And at the same time, their sweet exchanges covered the all powerful aspect of the Supreme Lord. And when it comes to that, that is a covering of love, covering of Yogamaya. So it is a glorification rather than a criticism. So residents of Vrindavan are glorified because they don't even know Krishna as Paramatma. They know only him as their object of love. So it is not a criticism, rather, it is a glorification. Now we are in material rasa. We are sweetly enjoying the material rasa. Even though there are tribulations, still we are in the rasa. We are enjoying, or if it's a karmi especially, not even started devotion service, just enjoying the matter in so many different ways. And we need something to break that material rasa. And what actually breaks this material rasa? So the material rasa is broken into pieces by the tattva of Krishna consciousness, by the philosophy, the truth of Krishna consciousness actually breaks this rasa. And then one can try to understand, okay, there is Krishna, he is the source of everything. So when we hear all these kind of things, then the propensity to enjoy matter is broken. We cannot, if one actually understand, or to the degree we understand that, to that degree we cannot actually relish the material pastimes. We can't. So that is the first aspect. So we had to get broken from the covering of Maya. So this is basically, we are covered with Maya. So the knowledge of Krishna actually removes this Maya covering. Now, what this higher devotees, the residents of Vrindavan and Dwaraka, what they are experiencing, they are on the platform of spiritual rasa. So their covering, in one sense, is by Yoga Maya. So the tattva is actually, the spiritual tattva is breaking down our material rasa, and then when that is broken and when sufficiently advances, one comes to the platform of experiencing the spiritual rasa. So here the great devotees, they are already on that platform and they are experiencing spiritual rasa with the Supreme Lord. And the it is mentioned in the pastime of Mother Yashoda and Krishna. when she saw the universal form in the mouth of Lord Krishna, initially she got apparently bewildered. Then it is mentioned what actually covered her eyes and what made her to think that Krishna is my son, and if I don't feed him, he is going to die even. She had such an intense feeling. What made her to think in that way? It is mentioned, it is not even just Yoga Maya. It is mentioned, it is the love for Mother Yashoda for Krishna that actually covered. So, when we try to see the spiritual rasa, it is based on intense love. So, in that intense love is actually covering. So, even though the ground reality is there, sometimes it pops up in their conversation that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, but it is covered. And that is rasa. Say, I think just before you came, I think I quoted a verse from 10th Canto, where even the gopis, they are saying, Nakhalu gopika nandana bhavan akhila dehinam antarat madruk. Gopis are saying, you are not the son of Mother Yashoda. Nakhalu gopika, indeed, you are not the son of Mother Yashoda. Akhila dehinam antarat madruk. You are present in everyone's heart as the super soul, as the witness. Antaratma drik, you can see everything. And they said, Vikhina Sharthido Vishwaguptaye. You appeared to Vishwaguptaye to protect the world. So it's basically Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chadushkritam. Even they are saying the same thing. Vishwagupta Sakha Udeivan Satutam Kule. Sakha, my dear friend, you appeared in the Satuta dynasty. So apparently it looks like even gopis knows everything. And indeed, they know everything. But it is being covered. So here, the covering in one sense, our covering is the Maya covering, and which has to be broken by the philosophy of higher understanding, who is the enjoyer, who is the proprietor, who is the source. Then only when we get purified of this contamination, then one can actually try to experience the spiritual rasa. Then one develops some attraction for Krishna. We may not be on the highest platform, at least we tend to see, oh, it's so amazing. Krishna is so amazing. Krishna's exchanges with this intimate devotee is so amazing. And in a sadhaka state, we are again covered. We go back and forth. But at least we can appreciate. And as we further progress, then the material rasa is completely gone and the only spiritual rasa remains. So that's the kind of... Does it answer? Thank you. Okay, so time is going. Any final question? Okay. That's the reason I explained why they saw him as the meditating. I didn't understand how Queen Kunti came to. Oh, okay. No, she's not a resident of Dwarka. She's from Hastinapur, right? Yeah, so essentially the question is, here, the residents of Dwaraka, even after having so many intimate exchanges, only their realization is up to Paramatma, whereas the Paramatma realization is meant for meditating yogis who are supposed to be in Shantaras. So how can we reconcile these two? So that's the reason I explained before that when we say this Paramatma realization of the residents of Dwaraka, it is not at all comparable to that of yogis. So yogis, okay, again, if we try to understand a yogi's Paramatma realization, a yogi, he can see Paramatma in the heart when he attains perfection in samadhi. However, there are two possibilities even for a yogi. If we try to understand a yogi's Paramatma realization, a yogi, if he sees the Paramatma within the heart, he may not progress further if he doesn't get association of the devotees. Okay? Then there is a high chance that that yogi would get attracted to the effulgence of Paramatma and wants to become one with the effulgence of Paramatma. In that way, he obtains Sayujya Mukti, not even Shantaras. So this is the precarious position of a yogi, even who has attained perfection. He can get Sayujya Mukti. He may not even get Shantaras. Now, if we consider the residents of Dwarka, they are in such a great position and they had such beautiful exchanges with the Supreme Lord. So they consider the Lord as Paramatma because He is present everywhere. He is exchanging with, He is having reciprocation with all the residents of Dwarka. So they started thinking, okay, He must be like Paramatma. Paramatma now expanded as Vasudev and He is present everywhere and He is exchanging with all of us. Because we know, if we consider the 16,108 queens, so many palaces were there and the Lord had intimate relation with His queens in all the palaces, and there are so many devotees in the palace and around the palaces, so the Lord had reciprocation with all, just like Paramatma. So that is their understanding of Paramatma, not a strict Paramatma realization of a yogi. That's not the case. Okay, so that's the point I was trying to make, that is considered a glorification rather than a criticism. Because the residents of Vrindavan didn't even know the Lord as Paramatma, strictly speaking. It was covered. So the residents of Vrindavan didn't know Krishna as Brahman, they didn't know Krishna as Paramatma, and they didn't know Krishna as Bhagavan. Whereas in here, Yadus, at least they go to know the Lord as Paramatma. So, and the Bhagavan aspect was covered because of sweetness of their relationship to the Lord. So, their knowledge of knowledge of the Supreme Lord as Paramatma is considered a glorification because they didn't know the Lord as Bhagavan. So that is considered a glorification because that was covered because of their love for the Lord. So that is one side of the story. Because of sweetness of their love for the Lord. It was covered. Exactly. That's right.
They don't know the Supreme as Bhagavan because of the sweetness of their love.
That's right, yeah. So they didn't know... Exactly, same thing. But they knew up to... So because of the intimacy is not as much as that of the residents of Vrindavan, they knew at least till Paramatma. So in other words, it's a kind of a... In that way, it's a misfortune. Yeah, that's right. In that way, it's a misfortune. So, yeah. Okay, I think we should stop here. Thank you very much. Grantharashtrimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.